I recently read about a fine Catholic man who was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic cancer. The cancer was very aggressive, and at best, the oncologists gave him 3 months to live. Understandably, he immediately began getting his affairs in order, which included calling his parish priest. He said, "Father, I've received some serious news from my doctors, and I was wondering if you could come by the house and talk. I need to plan for my funeral." The priest went to his house and shared some words of consolation with him and offered to assist him with his funeral plans. The man told his priest which hymns that he was hoping to have sung at the Mass. He had picked out the first reading, the second reading, and the gospel. He wanted his wife and his daughters to be the ones to place the pall over the casket. And he wanted his grandchildren to bring up the gifts. The priest was writing all of this down, and they came to the end, and Father asked, "Is there anything more?" And he said, "Yes," he said, "and what I'm going to tell you is very important." He said, "At the rosary vigil and before the Mass, the funeral Mass, I want my casket to be opened. I also have something that I want printed in the program. And finally," he said, "I want to have a fork placed in my hand." His priest said, "Okay, but, you know, I don't get the fork." The man explained that when he was growing up, something often happened to him at the dinner table, especially on Sundays and holidays. He said, "I always remember when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, Mom would inevitably lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.' It was my favorite part," he said, "because I knew that something better was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie, huckleberry strudel, something wonderful and satisfying." So he said, "I just want people to see me there in that casket with that utensil in my hand, and I want them to wonder, what's with the fork? And then I want them to read in the program, 'Keep your fork, the best is yet to come.'" Well, that man had really amazing faith in the life which is to come. He took heart the many biblical images of the heavenly banquet that we know so well, being described as a banquet with fine wines and rich, choice foods. He knew that this world is a veil of tears and that something better was coming. That fork, therefore, in many ways was a tool for evangelization. It inspired others to think about their own lives, how they were living, and where they were likely going to go after they died. It was a simple reminder of the power of Jesus Christ over the evil of sin and death. Jesus' power over death is made evident in this familiar gospel passage this morning. Martha and Mary tell Jesus their brother Lazarus was very near death. And Jesus ends up waiting days before he goes to Bethany. Scholars tell us that that was intentional on the part of our Lord. It was intentional because he wanted everyone to know for sure that Lazarus was indeed dead. And as it turns out, for 4 days, Lazarus' body was lying in the tomb. Jesus arrives and wants the tomb to be opened, and Mary is hesitant. She said, "Lord, his body has been in there for 4 days in this blazing heat. Surely there will be a stench." And Jesus ignores the warning. He musters his full power as God and cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The gospel says the dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to him, "Untie him and let him go." That man with cancer, who wanted to be buried with a fork, knew this gospel passage very well and clearly had faith in the power of Jesus over his own lethal cancer, over his suffering, and ultimately over his pending death. Death is a reality which all of us will be confronted with sooner or later. And I understand that some people, you know, want nothing to do with that reality. They kind of want to ignore it and not think about it. And then maybe in not thinking about it, it will never happen. But we know that it will. And so my message this morning is to get ready. It is a gift to your family who remain, and it is a gift for yourself to plan for your death. Planning your funeral liturgies, the vigil, the mass, the burial, is a kind of fork which points your loved ones to the life that is to come. Any priest will tell you that they've seen that happen at funerals. I also, in planning for funerals, I encourage people to make it very clear to their adult children what they want for a funeral. I say that because, unfortunately, I have encountered too many adult children of faithful Catholics who themselves have fallen away from the faith. Their mom was a devout Catholic, loved the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mass every Sunday, and then the adult kids say, "Well, none of us practice anymore. We're not going to have a funeral." And I'm thinking to myself, "What? No Mass for your mom?" I don't mean to be cynical, but "we're not going to have a funeral" is too often translated, "we want to hurry up and get through probate so that we can get our check." It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And I, in those situations, I've offered a funeral mass for those people nonetheless. Now, the kids won't let the body be present, and in fact, they've said, "Well, you can't have a funeral mass without our permission." And I'm like, inside, "Watch me." Her fellow parishioners and I are going to get together for Mass and to pray for the repose of her soul, whether you like it or not. She deserves that. She deserves that prayer for her soul after all she has given to God, to Christ, and to His Catholic Church. My point is, plan for what you want and then make it known to your family. And in that sense, your funeral could be a kind of fork which stirs the conscience and points people to the world that is to come. In planning for the end, I also encourage people to remember charity in their estate planning. There's something material to all this. And again, I make that observation because it's always a source of irritation for me when I read an obituary in the newspaper of a faithful Catholic whom I know, And the end of the obituary says, memorial contributions may be made to Hospice of Spokane. Now, I have no beef with Hospice of Spokane. This is not because of that. But what's kind of irritating to me is that Hospice had your mother for 2 weeks. Her parish had your mother for 20 years. And so I encourage people, remember your parish. Remember your Catholic grade school. Remember the seminary that formed your priests. And to be even more specific, or to put a fine point on it, I encourage a biblical tithe of 10%. And so by way of an example, a very modest estate, let's say, is $100,000. $10,000 to the parish and $90,000 left for the kids. That seems like a good amount. And that 10% is a fork which points children and family to something beyond us, namely the world that is to come. And finally, in preparing for the world to come, we need to live our lives for the Lord here and now. We know that our purpose in life, the sole reason we exist, is to know, love, and serve God in this life so as to be happy with Him forever in the next. So in that sense, our lives are to be a kind of fork pointing to the life to come, which means we engage in Lenten penance. We go to confession. We don't miss Sunday Mass. We strive to be chaste, and we care for the poor. We live the admonition found in the letter of St. James that faith without works is dead. I'm aware of two businessmen working for the same company who often attend the noon daily mass here at the cathedral. They leave the office together just before noon and return afterward. And one of them said to me that one day their secretary asked, "I'm just curious, but where do the two of you go every day?" I'm sure she was thinking Jimmy John's or Taco Bell or something. And they said, "No, we go to Mass." And I cannot help but wonder if that response, "we go to Mass," was a kind of fork which pointed to something more. She has to be curious why her bosses are so attached to the Mass. It would be a natural curiosity. Why do they come to work in the morning thinking that the best is yet to come? Even though you and I are followers of Jesus and believe in His power over sin and death, we still need reminders now and then. And so, the next time we pick up a fork, let it remind us ever so gently that by staying close to Jesus, the best is yet to come.